Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McKeesick. We have an interesting show for you today. We've got three people here from Scottish Ravens, Mikey, Seb, and Chris, and they're going to each talk about one problem they see with the 2026 Ravens coming up and what roster move they'd like to see. All right. Now, we're going to start this off, and we'll go to Mikey. Well, let's introduce first. Mikey, how you doing?
I'm all good, Ken. Thanks for having us on. Looking forward to chatting some Ravens ball. You guys,
tell us a little bit about the group in general and who you are.
Yeah, so we're a group of Ravens fans who have pretty much grown from the kind of spurred off from the kind of UK Ravens side growth and have grown in a space where in Scotland, in Glasgow in particular, where a lot of us Ravens fans have started to get together and watch the games. Chat ball and just find that collective. We were recognised as a flock by the Ravens last year, had a lot of good feedback from Kim and Laura and the girls at the Ravens, and it's just we're growing. We had a few meetups, four meetups last year, over 100 people had came to them. We have meetups in the bar called The Raven in Glasgow, so it's
that works.
We love going, and I always say misery loves company. Last year was particularly so.
All right. Great to meet you, Mikey. Yeah. Seb, let's move on to you for a second. Did you either guys happen to go to the Manchester meetup?
I was there. Yeah.
Mikey did. Okay.
Great. All right. Well, Seb, nice to have you too. Anything different about your end of the group or whatever, or how you became a Ravens fan?
I mean, how I became a Ravens fan is obviously a different subject to the other two, Mikey and Chris. So, I mean, everyone has their own story. Let's be honest. Everyone has their own story on any team. But in terms of the Scottish Ravens, it was, as Mikey said, misery loves company, and it just so happened that we have that many guys in this country that actually love this football team. So we made the decision to make our separate group because we have the guys that are up here over the border and happy to contribute. And it kind of shows in our meetups every year, like every season, especially. I mean, we've only been established like the last two seasons or so, but it's growing and growing and growing. And to be honest with you, I couldn't be happier. Like, I'm very happy with the way it's grown. We took a risk, and it's paid off.
All right. Well, great. Chris, are the Ravens doing anything to support you directly? Do they send you merch, or do they do anything to help you guys out?
Yeah, for sure. I think even just the interaction alone and the acknowledgement of the flock goes a long, long, long way. We're obviously a small group, quite a distance from Baltimore, and I think to just get the acknowledgement from the Ravens officially means a lot for everyone in the group. But Kim and Laura have been incredible with us and have reached out with merch for our meetups. We also sent us some signed merch for some prize giveaways for one of our meetups at the end of last year, and I'm sure they've got ideas of things to do this year and how they further engage fan groups across the rest of the world, which is amazing to be a part of.
That is really important, because the Ravens are stuck in a, as we've talked about, I think before, a small geographic splinter of land in the United States, just a sliver, and they're beset on all sides by other fans. The Baltimore Orioles, on the other hand, for many years, for decades, had a big advantage of having no team basically south of them in the United States, and that was a big advantage. And it's just not true for the Ravens. They need to seek international markets, and I'm glad they've gotten you guys going, or you guys have gotten going with them. Appreciate that. But anyway, we have you on because we want each of you to talk about the one concern you have now, and then we'll come back around again to talk about the one roster move you'd like to start. Let's start with you, Mikey. What's the one concern you have about this team, the biggest concern?
My concern is, and for as much as I love Mandrews, number 89, Mark Andrews, is at tight end. I think the Ravens play their best ball when we have two tight end sets, when we have a blocker, we've got, and then we open it up that way. I have a real worry that if Mark Andrews has a slow start or he's not quite fit or anything like has been in the last couple of years, he doesn't get that up to speed. We have a really inexperienced room there, and I'm just worried that, and yeah, heaven forbid and touch wood that it doesn't happen, but if Mark Andrews got an injury, then I'd think we'd be struggling at tight end for us to be able to do stuff that we really are good at traditionally.
Okay, so lack of depth at tight end, and of course the Ravens in a lot of ways brought this on themselves because all four of the players in this tight end room had their contracts come due at the same time, which is just a terrible way to operate. If you can avoid it, you really want to not do that. Excited at all about Matthew Hebner or about Josh Cuevas in terms of what they bring to the team?
I mean, it's more of I would say excitement, yes, just because of it's a new system and it's the unknown, and it's the unknown in a good way. I actually like it, but also, yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've never really drafted massively poorly, I would say. Yes, we've made the odd hiccup, but we always seem to get somebody. And
that's a really glasses half empty kind of look at the Ravens draft history,
because pretty much
literally one of the three greatest in terms of dealing with the draft capital that they have in recent NFL history. Okay, let's move on to you, Seb, and talk about your major concern.
Yeah, offensively, mine would be to see what's on everyone's mind. It's the replacement of Lindemann.
Okay, all right, and I'm sure we'll get to that in terms of the roster moves that are desired here, but. They have a bunch of B options currently on the roster. Actually, they're not B options. They're really D options on the roster. If they were even C options, that would be something to really consider. But they have Danny Pinter, who's been kicked around the league with Indianapolis for a number of years and has really only played less than 1,000 career snaps. And they have Corey Bullock, and they have other players who could move to center, including Ioane, although I don't think that would be a great use of his talents. Emory Jones may take snaps at center is one thing we've certainly heard. Do any of those as a solution seem reasonable to you? And I'll move on to you, Chris, to try and answer that.
I think given that Bullock has been with the Ravens for a little while and got quite a few snaps last year in preseason, I think he's maybe the leader in the clubhouse currently. And I think there is obviously a level of interest that comes with Ledford, with Gwynn coming over to the Ravens with him, so to speak. And I think with Emory Jones, we've invested a fair amount of draft capital in him. And where we took him last year, given our needs, he obviously didn't get the opportunity that we all were kind of maybe screaming out for at certain points last year. And now with bringing Simpson and Ioane in on with the first round pick and the money that we've given to Simpson, I would say that there's maybe a fair amount of interest to try and get our money's worth out of Emory Jones at center.
Right. Okay, so I hear you on that. When I look at the possibilities of Emory Jones, first of all, Emory Jones, a third round draft pick last year, is not the biggest investment you'll ever make in a player. It's something. But it's also, he's a year removed, a year of sand is out of the hourglass. He had the loss of developmental time last year because of the injury and whatnot. And the Ravens knew that was coming. It's not like they didn't understand what the risks were. But I'm not sure it'd be terrible if Jones ended up being backup right guard or maybe backup at two guard spots, also at right tackle, and then also could perform as a sixth offensive lineman whenever the Ravens do that. One of the reasons is that if they're not going to use a fullback, and it appears that's going to be the case this year, that you occasionally are going to need to have an offensive lineman in line, or occasionally going to want to have one when you're trying to run out of ball game. All right, well, let's move on here. Chris, you're next. What's your major concern?
My major concern is one that I think might have slipped people's minds deliberately because they've tried to push it into the furthest corner of their mind after the kick being missed, but it's kicker.
Okay, so you don't really trust Tyler Loop after a miss like that, despite a pretty fine rookie year.
Yeah, I think statistically he performed fairly well. I just feel that there were a number of his kicks that really, really just snuck inside the post and just made it. And a lot of issues with these kickoffs that were, you know, either just falling short or going straight out of bounds. And I guess maybe we've been spoiled with Justin Tucker over the years, and that's lulled us into a false sense of security. But I just don't want us to be in a situation where we're in win-now mode and we are sent packing because of a kick as the game comes to a close.
Okay. All right. Well, fair enough. And I know that, you know, with a new holder this year, there will be more challenges to come for Luke. They'll have to re-assimilate this group and get them working together again. Mikey, do you have that same level of concern about kicker that Chris does?
My thing with the Ravens is that first-year rookie kickers, punters always, I mean, Stout looked pretty ropey in the first year, and then secondly, Stout came on a good game. I think Luke will come on a good game. I have concerns that his kicks aren't central. I think he was maybe trying to adjust with the wind, and M&T notoriously is hard to kick in anyway. I think he will be better this year. My only concern with him is his leg and the distance. He doesn't do many over 50 yards. Now, it shouldn't make a difference when we are scoring points and doing the normal stuff. But I'm not. I think Loop's fine. I'm not as bad as Chris. I'm over it.
Okay, so that was the one kick. He made 29 of 30 from under 50 yards. That was the one kick. Was the biggest of them all. Obviously, it's not a great way to end his rookie year. I'm not concerned. Before the kick, he actually had the same in-season record as Tucker did in his first year. When they couldn't say enough about it on the Mile High Miracle game, if you guys have watched that. I don't know if you guys adopted the Ravens subsequent to the last Super Bowl. Is that, am I gathering that correctly?
No.
Before?
I think there's quite a few of us across the group that have been fans for maybe just a couple of seasons. There's been fans that have kind of come on board at the most recent Super Bowl run. I got into the Ravens probably the year before their first Super Bowl, but then we're also subject to, in years gone by, what games were being covered on Sky Sports over here.
Sure.
Obviously the coverage has grown and grown and grown, which is amazing. But we were talking about that the other day. We kind of relied heavily on like magazine shows that were on weekly that kind of give you some highlights.
Let's talk about that for a moment. Do you have availability to order a package of all the games on TV the way you can with a Sunday ticket?
Yeah, for sure. We've previously, we've Sky cover three games a week, and then there's the Monday night game and the Thursday night games you can watch easily, no problem. And then quite a lot of people have had NFL Game Pass, and now it's moved on to DAZN. And there's a vast majority of people watch it just via that.
Okay. All right. And the Sunday night game, is that on as well on Sky Sports, or is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Okay. So you have three weekly games, three of the primetime games.
Yeah.
All right. I'll go ahead and toss in my concern about the Ravens right here is at corner. Is that I think they've allowed the position to get very old at this point. I'm not completely buying into Chandler Rivers. I don't think the Ravens have a need in the slot, and I don't think he's really big enough to play on the outside in the NFL. Did not have great coverage statistics in his last year in college. So that's my concern. Anybody have anything to respond to about that?
I had a big thing about corner. I wanted corner in the first round this year. Mm-hmm. It stuck in my mind, Ken, that years ago Eric DaCosta said you can never have enough good corners.
Yeah.
And I 100% believe that is the case. I have a concern more of tight end, but the corner was my secondary, because I'm like, I think, depending on what the scheme is, but I do think, I totally agree with you that there's a need there.
Okay.
I'm gonna contrast that statement, Mikey. The you wanted corner in the first round. Like we lost our best interior offensive lineman. There was nobody to protect Lamar.
Yeah, but hindsight's great that if there hadn't been the run of all linemen that we'd had, then and we'd have took Ioane, then people would have been concerned.
Bro, we've had this conversation weeks before it, and I told you I wanted Vinga, and we got him.
All right. And none of you guys wanted Sadiq? None of you guys were buying into that? Okay. No, Outstanding value in terms of you keeping here for a decade.
Yeah.
I would have been excited about it, but maybe not initially. I think he's the kind of pick that, like, if we'd managed to pick up, say if we got like Pregnon in the second round.
Yeah.
And then been able to have Sadiq as a real X factor weapon. But I think a lot of it just comes down to risk versus reward. And I think we have to shore up that old line, didn't we? And I think maybe about the only time that you'll see the fan group united on being okay with taking a guard in the first round. It's pretty unsexy approach to it, but it works, doesn't it?
It was very, very, very unsexy approach. Well, let's move on. Now you can make one roster change. That's the second half of the show we're going to do. Mikey, let's start with you. Where would you like to see the Ravens make a roster change?
For me, I'd kind of like to see us make a move at the inside backer. I think we struggled last year, and previously we've had conversations about people criticised Roquan quite a lot last year. I actually thought Roquan was quite stellar in a lot of games and was being asked to do a bit too much, and he needed a bit more support. Teddy Buchanan came on good, but obviously he's got injured. Trent Simpson's came on pretty good, but maybe not as quick as I would hope he would. So I'd kind of like them to make some sort of move at inside backer to give that support. Now, the flip side is, depending on the scheme, they might utilise certain personnel superstars that we have and move them about to help. But yeah, I would kind of like to see something in there to give Roquan a bit of help in the middle of the field.
So I can see a lot of problems at inside linebacker, but is part of that a 2027 move? Because Simpson is probably going to be gone. He could be re-signed, but I think it's unlikely. And Roquan is almost certain to be gone because there's a huge cap savings from cutting him. The other possibility is, I suppose, they could restructure Roquan's contract and change the terms over another 3 or 4 year period, which I don't know that I'd be opposed to. Voss would probably have a brain hemorrhage from it if it were to happen, but I'm not really opposed to it. I also, I don't know about you guys, around the horn on this, but do you, any of you guys, like, absolutely set that Buchanan is the Mike of the future? He's played Will, he's been effectively a trail player, a chase player. Does it make sense? Are you sold on the notion that he's going to be the Mike someday? Start with you, Mike.
I think he's. Go, Seb.
Go on, Mikey. No, on.
I think Buchanan's better as a Will, Ken. I think he's good at chasing after and flying. I think he's good at it. I think he was admirable in the Mike. But I think if we were to solve that with someone else and then let him play, it would help. It depends on what Buchanan comes back, doesn't it?
All right, how about you, Seb?
I mean, I agree with Mikey. Again, I'll go back to Mikey's previous comment of scheme fit.
Okay.
It really just depends on how Minter's going to set this defense up. Like, obviously, last season he was green dot. It's a big thing for a guy, a fourth-round pick, to be a green dot. Like, that's a big thing.
I think he only had the green dot for about one game, by the way, when Roquan was out.
Even then, a fourth-round pick being a green dot is a big thing.
Okay. All right, fair enough. That's what he'd have to be. If he goes to that Mike role, it comes down to him or Hamilton has the green dot. And it's probably, it would probably be Hamilton, honestly, because he plays every snap.
A million percent.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, Chris, how about your feelings about Buchanan and whether or not he outplayed Patrick Queen as a rookie, no doubt about that. But the question is, did he do enough to convince you that he's a Mike in the future as opposed to a Will?
I don't know. I think he played it admirably for sure. But I think given how we played last year, the multitude of injuries, it's quite difficult to get a real barometer on whether he's that guy for the future. I think this season, hopefully, a successful one and hopefully health permitting for everyone in there, we get to assess that a little bit more. I think I wouldn't be opposed to adding an inside linebacker at all. I know Matt Milano is still there. He's had his troubles with injuries, but he's a hell of a player.
You want an older guy, or do you want the Ravens to try and work their magic on among some UDFA choices and possibly even a cast off from another organization?
I don't know. I mean, I off the top of my head, I couldn't tell you the middle linebacker for the Chargers last year. And I think the way that Minter had them flying to the ball, it was a kind of sum of parts effort rather than huge names, even at cornerback as well. And I think that bodes really well, given the fact that the Ravens on paper, I think, have a much more talented defense.
That is a point that a lot of people have made, and I completely agree with it. I think that's well stated. Okay, let's move on to you and talk about the one change you'd like to make going into 26 before the season starts.
I mean, personally, I would. I mean, I get we got Zion Young. I get we got Trey Hendrickson. It's a great thing. I feel like he definitely upgrades the pass rush room, but I would bring in somebody that's already been in that room to help someone like Zion Young understand it. So I personally, in my view, I would bring back KVN.
Okay. Probably be pretty cheap this year. So it's an interesting option. There are more expensive options. The one thing these veteran pass rushers always seem to have in common is they have no interest in coming to training camp. So they'd like to come in towards the end of camp, maybe right after that last preseason game, you know, join the team then. KVN, he thought he was more valuable than he really was a couple of years ago. Was it 23? I guess it was 23. And it was a while before he came in. It might have been week three, week four of the season. So KVN, I like that answer for some reasons, because it's a Sam linebacker, and the Ravens will probably want to have that flexibility to drop the edge defender on that side and bring a variety of blitzes. And there's talk about, you know, Minter's going to want to get home with four and whatnot. Well, there's four and there's four. There's, you know, the four straight up, and that's fine. But there's also four with zone blitzes, four with drops, four with all sorts of other deception that you can throw in there too, including twists and zone coverage drops. And I'm sorry, I'm missing something here, and blitzes from off ball. So I want to see four, but I think that having that flexibility outside linebacker, you think back a few years to when they had Tyus Bowser and Matt Judon on the team, that's just a tremendously flexible pass rush in terms of what they were able to do. So, all right. So I'd be on board with KVN. I think it could be on the efficient frontier of price and quality of play you get from him. So Chris, how do you feel about that?
Yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to it at all. I think he is somebody that brings real leadership qualities and is a guy that just seamlessly fit in, as we've done so well with those vet guys over the years. But there's probably a few guys that I would take over him. But yeah, I wouldn't be opposed to it.
All right. Who would you take over him? You can make your play right now.
Clowney.
Okay. Me too. But we'll get to mine in a minute. Chris, let's move on to your guy. What's the change that you make before the season starts?
I guess a lot of it hinges on being able to get a new deal for Lamar, because I guess that's the elephant in the room with cap space just now. But I think given where we are, our window, so to speak, with Lamar and the team, and a lot of vets on our team that are chomping at the bit to win their first Super Bowl, I would not take any chances, and I would make a trade for a center.
All right. I don't have a problem making that trade, and I probably don't have a problem making another move, but I want to see Lamar signed. That's just part of it. The talk of the window for Lamar is just it's false. It's spurious until Lamar is actually going to be here for the next period of time. And if the season starts without Lamar being signed, there is risk. There is risk immediately that Lamar will not be back come 2028. And I don't want to see that happen. I don't want to see that risk. And I don't want to put the Ravens put in a position next year where there's a contentious salary battle and they have to figure out how to unwind this thing. I mean, just that'd be a disaster if they had to do it, particularly the way the rest of the roster has been built and paid for in advance in a lot of ways. I mean, you got to get value out of this, and they have to be able to get the Lamar signing done before they make large additional commitments. Very happy they did not make that commitment to Linderbaum without having Lamar signed. That really didn't make any sense, but it was too much money anyway, but I'm really happy they didn't make it given the fact that Lamar wasn't signed.
I just on that, Ken, I did say to the guys earlier about risky positions, and I said, what about quarterback? Because it is the elephant in the room. I think we're all agreed that the deal should get done, and it will make sense. But there is a worry, like you said, we put all that capital down on other players, and then that we're back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
So I hope not.
Yeah, I'm in the I hope not mode also. I probably like Jadeveon Clowney a little bit more. Maybe like Chris has mentioned here, he'd be really my guy. But I think if I had to honestly say it, he's going to be, I think, more expensive than Kyle Van Noy, and probably is on that same efficient frontier of value of play and cost of the player. But boy, he created a lot of first pressures himself when he was last here, and I'd really love to have him back in Baltimore. I'm not loving how old this defense is, between Humphrey and potentially a reunion with Clowney and Roquan now getting a little long in the tooth, it's and Campbell for certain. a tremendous amount of the versatility of this defense over the last couple of days.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and it's a good reminder that whatever you're carrying around, you don't have to carry it around alone. Life is a journey. Some days are great. Some days you're lying awake at night thinking about work, family, money, your health, your future, all of it. And when that happens, it's easy to feel like you're supposed to figure everything out by yourself. But nobody has all the answers alone. Having someone with you, someone to listen, understand, and help you sort through what's going on can make a real difference. And BetterHelp can match you with a fully licensed therapist. With more than 30,000 therapists, they do the initial match work so you can focus on what you need. And if the match isn't right, you can switch at any time. You don't have to be on this journey alone. Find support and have someone with you in therapy. Sign up and get 10% off at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Is being basically tacked to Calais Campbell's ability to remain on the field. And play well at age 40. I mean, it's a big ask, even coming off a good year at 39. All right. Anybody else have something to say about Clowney before we move on?
No, I was just going to say
Yeah, go, Mikey.
I was just going to say Clowney or KVN to share the snap count with Mike Green and Isaac coming back and stuff would just be a nice little cherry on top, because you could develop all different types of things, and I'm pretty sure that it would be a really good wrecker that Jesse Minter would be able to scheme in certain plays. So I would like either. I think both of them would be a good addition.
All right. I will say this. If you get KVN or you get Clowney, it's almost certain that Adisa Isaac does not make the team. They won't carry more than five edges, and they may already consider Campbell as a part edge, part defensive lineman, such that they want to save a roster spot there. They could see an economy there that would
my only comment on that, Ken, is Ajabo didn't make the team, so Isaac definitely shouldn't.
Because they've got four already. Number five would be Clowney, and they've got Green, Tavius, Young, and Hendrickson. And then the fifth would be Clowney. If you take Clowney, you're not going to get Isaac, because they're not going to carry six. Now somebody could get hurt, and they could make space, but they've carried five in the past. They've not carried six, and they have also carried four in the past. So I think there'd be a question there. But Isaac could be on the practice squad. I don't think he's at this point in his career. I don't think he's on a he's a high demand player. I don't think you lose him necessarily if you cut him. All right, guys, been an absolute pleasure having you on again. Can you tell folks, go around the horn once and tell folks where they can reach you if they have a football question, or if they're a fan listening in Scotland, how they might contact you to join the club. Mike, you go first.
Yeah, I mean, our easiest way to get a hold of us is reach out to us on Instagram, at Scottish Ravens, is the easiest. Essentially, any of the platforms, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, X, sorry. At Scottish Ravens, and you'll reach out to us. You can get information about our meets, contact one of us three will be the ones that will pick it up, and we can get back in touch with you.
All right, great. How about you, Seb?
Exactly the same way he said.
No Twitter handle for direct communication or anything? Okay.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Mike, you'll need to do that.
Yeah, we all have you get me at Mikey Brown most of the usual ones. Chris, you can say yours. I think it's at Chris Donaghy.
Chris_Donaghy.
And Seb, yours is at Seb Edwards, isn't it? So yeah, all they ones, but yeah.
Our best angle is definitely, if you want to get in touch, it's either Instagram or TikTok.
Okay. Yep. All right. Very good, guys. I appreciate having you on again. I thought this was a fun discussion. Other folks out there, if you'd like to have either be on a short or ask a question, use hashtag film study mailbag. I'll get back to you, and we can talk about what the appropriate place for if you want to do a pod off season, coming up on some nice dead time. This is the perfect time for some of those pods. Thanks again, guys.
Thanks, Ken.
Thanks again, Ken.
Yeah, thanks, we'll talk Ken. To you later. Talk See to you later. Next time on Film Set.
Bye-bye. See you soon. Bye-bye.